Hi, I'm Marie Crow, and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we will be talking to Ireland men's captain Andrew Balbirnie on the upcoming preparations for the ICC Men's T20 World Cup. This is the 8th ICC Men's T20 World Cup tournament to be played in Australia from the 16th of October to the 13th of November 2022. Ireland will play against Zimbabwe, Scotland and the West Indies in the first round, which will see the top two teams from round one go into the group stage. Well, welcome along, everyone. Let's get on with the show and speak to Andrew from the team's base in Sydney. Andy, how's everything down under?
Yeah, it's going well. We settled in sort of on Saturday after the long flight, and we've had a good couple of days training. Unfortunately, today's game was called off because of torrential rain in Sydney, but I think everyone's kind of settled in and got to grips with the time zones and everything. And yeah, training's been pretty good.
How do you do that? Like, how do you adjust? Is it just try and get sleep at the right times and things like that?
Yeah, well, I suppose business class flying over helps. That's made a big difference this time. We don't always get that privilege, and being able to sleep on a flight helps us definitely. But certainly, I think just having the right stuff in place. Brendan Connor, our S&C coach, has made sure that we're sleeping at the right times and training at the right times and stuff. But it usually only takes a couple of days. So I think all the majority of the squad are pretty much over at this stage.
When I think of Australia, I think of sunshine, beaches, sun cream, nice weather. Set the scene for us.
Well, the scene is a few of us have been rushing around the charity shops looking to buy hoodies and rain jackets. It's been very different to, I think, that picture. A lot of us have been to Australia before and have been lucky enough to get great weather. But we've had a couple of nice days, but certainly guys are looking to buy hoodies and rain jackets and tracksuit bottoms because it's probably warmer back home than it is here in Sydney at the moment.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, I've heard that there is torrential rain there, and it doesn't seem like it's going to ease up anyway in the next couple of days. So how have the conditions affected you guys and kind of just preparations in general then?
I think we've been lucky that we've got outside for the first two or three days. We've managed to get a game in as well against Randall Petersham, and that was quite important because the club has done a lot for Irish cricket over the last number of years. Myself, Harry Tector, Stephen Doheny and Barry McCarthy have all spent time out here playing club cricket for them. So to be able to play them yesterday in front of a good crowd and get a good game of cricket in was great for everyone involved, for us as a team leading into the World Cup, but also for Randy Peets as a club because, like I said, they've done a lot to help Irish cricket over the years.
Yeah, it must be nice for you to be back and to be in an environment that you're very comfortable in as well, and the other guys too.
Yeah, it's always nice when you go to the far side of the world, and naturally there's a lot of Irish people in Sydney anyway, but I suppose going to a cricket club and knowing people there by name and them knowing you and them having followed your progress. You know, I went there when I was 25, having not really established myself in the Irish team, and I come back kind of leading the team, so I think they're very proud of the achievements of all of the four of us who have played for the club. And, you know, I was here in 2015 before the World Cup where we played the first game against them, and that's where it sort of started from. And then Barry McCarthy came over for a season and then the rest of us followed. So, yeah, it's always nice when you're this far away from home that you can always pick up the phone to someone local and chat to them or meet them up for a coffee or whatever it is.
That's quite nice from a personal point of view, though, as well, to be able to kind of measure that progress to show what you've achieved in the time since you were there.
Yeah, and I was chatting to the club president, Mike Whitney, today, and you know they keep a close eye on how we go, not just as a team, but as individuals, because naturally they've played a part in the progression of all four of us in different ways. I came out here when I just had a really bad hip injury and needed to get game time and almost find the love of the game again because I'd gone through a really tough rehab. And I was able to get that out here with some amazing people and at a really great club. So they all play, you know, all four of us have had a club play different roles for us. So yeah, it's a great relationship and one that I hope kind of goes long past when I'm finished playing.
I know you guys have only there a short time and obviously the weather conditions have impacted your plans, but just in terms of kind of settling in and kind of takeaways and learnings that you've had since you've got there, have there been many?
I think just the different surfaces we play on over here, they're naturally quite bouncier and faster wickets than we would be used to back home. That's what we're expecting when we get to Hobart. I fortunately got to play in Hobart in 2015, and it was a really good batting wicket. So we're kind of aware of what we're going to expect from a conditions point of view. You know, we can do all the homework we want in the world, but as long as but we have to be out there practicing that as well as just sitting down and talking about it. So we've managed to get three or four really good days in under our belt. We were indoor today, but keeping it specific. So yeah, we've had learnings, and hopefully we move to Melbourne on Sunday. Hopefully we can get two games there and hit the ground running once we get to Hobart.
Do you think everyone will be available for those games in Melbourne?
Yes, I think so. We've had a couple of minor niggles that we've just kind of kept an eye on over this week. We didn't want to kind of bring someone in or rush anyone back from those niggles. Paul and Harry obviously arrived yesterday. Harry arrived and Paul arrived this morning. So I think once we get to Melbourne on Sunday or Monday, they'll be ready to go for leading into the main event.
You've been in the captaincy role now for quite a while, but a lot has happened in that time, including getting a new coach. And one of the real positive things is that some of the players that you would have played with then, you know, are a lot more experienced now. Are you sensing that, and do you notice that?
I think so. I think obviously when I came in as captain, we were aware that our golden generation or our great senior players that I grew up watching and playing with were coming to the end, and we needed to get something in place to make sure that over the next couple of years that we would have that sort of young group of players coming in and experiencing international cricket and gaining experience. And I think we've got that. I think this summer has shown that the squad and the team are making huge strides in both formats of the white ball. We've had standout performances from different people, whereas in previous years it may have come from maybe only a couple. There's a number of players who've stood up and shown that they can win games for us, and that's really exciting. And it's the best place to be is at the World Cup and on the world stage when you've got so many match winners in your at your disposal.
And then, of course, you have the likes of Tector and Little and Sterling getting franchise experience around the world. How beneficial is that to you and to the squad too?
Yeah, it's massively beneficial. I've always said that for any of us to get any experience at that franchise level is great for the game. It shows that Irish cricket is doing good things, and if these guys are performing at that level, then why can't other players go and get picked up and play in these leagues? Because there's a number of the players that are good enough to play at that level, and they've shown at international and domestic level. And you know, we have women's players who are playing in franchises and over in England as well. So it's only, I think Irish cricket is in a really good place at the moment. We have two teams at the World Cup, both men's and women's, and that's really exciting for the game as a whole, not just for us as players in the men's teams, but for everyone involved in Irish cricket back home, and for kids as well, because that's the most important thing, is that kids have heroes and people to watch on the telly to aspire to be like.
Since COVID came, I've struggled at times to grasp the time frame of certain things, and earlier on I was just doing a little bit of research and I was googling Heinrich, and I found it hard to believe that it was January last year when he was announced. So it's like we're not that far off him being there for a full year, which is for me mind blowing, because it feels like only yesterday that he was announced as the new head coach. But he's been there for quite a while now. How have you found him? What are the key things that you've noticed about his style of coaching?
Yeah, and I agree with you completely. I think when I first spoke to him on the phone, I was in quarantine in Jamaica and not in a great place personally. But his enthusiasm kind of came across the phone and what he wanted to do with the team. And we both kind of had the same thoughts about what we wanted, how we wanted to bring the team forward. And he's come in and just been an absolute breath of fresh air. And actually, we have a young squad at the moment, relatively inexperienced when it comes to international cricket. But he's just taken a real hands-on role and really developed a lot of these cricketers. And he has a really hard-working method, and guys are really kind of tapping into that as best as possible. And look, I think he's aware of how big this couple of weeks is going to be for this T20 group, but he's not changing anything about the way he goes about it. You know, he's up first thing in the morning, planning and plotting and texting me, and we're always kind of throwing texts about how we can make this team better. And I think as well, a big positive for Heinrich is it's not just the team, it's not just the 15 that are here in Australia, it's the 10 that are back home. You know, we have Test cricket, we have ODI cricket next year to plan for as well. So it's not just the T20 team, you know, it's not the be all and end all if you don't get into this squad. There's a lot of international cricket to come, and he's certainly keeping an eye on that as well.
There was so much debate around this squad selection. For you, is that a sign that there is that depth there that cricket in Ireland have been striving for?
Yeah, I think so. I think whenever you pick a squad of 15, there's always going to be debate. That's just the way it is. You know, I don't think there was too many. It was maybe one close call, in my opinion. And that was probably the big call that was made. And that's the way it is. But naturally, there are going to be people disappointed in selection. But particularly a World Cup, it gets kind of pronounced a bit more. But I think the right squad was picked at the end of the day. And I think we've got to go and back that squad. And certainly, I think it's the best squad we have at our disposal at the moment. But like I said, there's so much cricket to play next year that, you know, in 6 or 8 months' time, there could be different names involved. But certainly the 15 at the moment are the best to lead us into Hobart next week.
There is so much cricket to come. And this is a really exciting one, though, for you guys. When you're in it, can you enjoy it, Andy? Or are you just kind of just moving along through all of the fixtures that you have to get through? Or can you enjoy being in the moment?
It's a good question. I think certainly the last 2 years, the enjoyment has been tested because of COVID bubbles and restricted to your rooms and not getting to kind of interact with your own teammates. That has been very difficult. And certainly I'd say the enjoyment level had been brought down. This is different. We're able to, well, I mean, there is no bubble here. You're able to roam around, you're able to meet friends, family that you might have in Sydney. That in itself is a huge plus. I think the World Cup last year, we flew into Dubai knowing that we had to do 7 days of quarantine. And before you've even hit a cricket ball, your mind is absolutely frazzled. So it has been different from the start here, certainly when the competition comes in. Enjoyment, I don't know. There is a lot of pressures when you when you play. And you know, I know you need to enjoy them. And it's a cliche that, you know, they're the best days of your life. But certainly when there's a lot of pressures on you, it can be sometimes hard to enjoy it. But you've got to kind of break it down and just realize that you're playing with your best friends. These are guys you spend so much time with. And just trying to remember the moments when you're sitting in the changing room having won a game or won a series, and how great that feels, just seeing smiles on people's faces. So I think we'll certainly be, I'd like to think that the guys are enjoying it, but you know, there are pressures that we have to kind of soak up and hopefully get the better of.
Yeah. And look, it's going to come at you pretty thick and pretty fast, very quickly. So your opponents, Zimbabwe, Scotland and the West Indies, it is a tough group. But just when you consider your form during the summer, particularly the way you finished off the season with that series win against Afghanistan at Stormont, how confident are you about coming through this group?
Yeah, I think we have to be confident. We've played pretty good cricket all summer in both formats. And I think a big part of what myself and Heinrich have spoken about throughout the summer is a performance thing. I think certainly last year's World Cup and the way it panned out, there was a lot of focus on the result, and it was, you know, all our focus was on the result rather than the performance. And I think over the last 6 to 8 months, we've just tried to look at how we can be better in our performances, and the results haven't gone our way really, if you look at the kind of breakdown of the summer, but our performances have been very good. And I think in the long run, if your performances are at a certain level, the results will look after themselves. So we want to try to get that message across to players that there's no pressure on our results, but there's pressure on how we perform. And I think the guys are reacting pretty well to that. And that gives them that sort of free spirit to go out and play, because we want to try to play a brand of cricket that excites people. And hopefully we can do that in Hobart.
Do you know what your starting team is going to be for the Zimbabwe game at this stage?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I have an idea, but you know, 10 days or 2 weeks is quite a long time, particularly when you have a couple of niggles that you have to look after and stuff like that. I think these are niggles that if we were to play a World Cup game tomorrow, we'd have 15 players to pick from, without doubt. I have a fair idea of what our strongest team is, but that could change. We have a really competitive group here who are pushing each other day in, day out, and I think everyone's just excited. There will be disappointed people, naturally. It's a World Cup and they all want to play, but everyone has their part to play, whether they're in that 11 or not.
So what will define success for your side of this tournament?
I think it's tricky because I can talk about performances all day and how we want to play good cricket. But if we play good cricket and lose three games, mm-hmm. that's not successful. So there has to be a balance of playing good cricket, but also getting results and sometimes maybe having to win ugly. You know, we know exactly what we have to do. We were in a situation last year where we had to win one game and we didn't do that because we were so, I think, caught up with having to win and not worrying about how we did it. So I think success. Look, we have to get through that group. If we don't do that, it'll be deemed as unsuccessful. But certainly, our message won't change. It's go out there and play and put in a performance that you can be proud of. And we know as a group that if we put in three good performances, that we'll be happy with that.
And what about support? Are you expecting family, friends, and a few just Irish cricket supporters to travel to the games? And you've got all of the Irish people residing in Australia as well that no doubt will turn out to see you. That must be great knowing that you are going to have some support.
Yeah, it is. And certainly from talking to a few of the lads, there is a good group of parents. I know my parents are coming out. My wife, Kate, is already out here. So there are a number of parents coming out. I know my dad's currently in a WhatsApp group with a few other dads planning golf trips here and there. So there certainly is an excitement about the parents. And that's great because, like I said, you know, the parents, they are the people who, I know everyone talks about it, but they're the people that drove you to all those sessions and got you to where you are. So you want them to be there at your biggest stage. So I don't know how many Irish people are in Hobart, but certainly if we get through to the next stage, we'll have a lot of support. But I think it should be a great World Cup, and hopefully we can do our parents and friends and family and supporters proud over the next couple of weeks.
No doubt you will. Andy, thank you so much for taking the time. And all I can say now is off with you to enjoy the rain.
Really, cheers.
Now, before we wrap up this episode, there are a few recent news announcements to excite Irish fans. The men's squad will return to Lourdes for a test match in June 2023. The MCC ticket ballot is open on the 24th of October through the MCC website. The men will also play three ODIs against England in September. The ECB announced Headingley, Trent Bridge and Bristol as the venues. Ireland women's squad is heading to Pakistan later this month with the six-match series to be played at the Gaddafi Stadium in Lahore. This squad has been named shortly, which will make history as the first Irish national side, men or women, to tour Pakistan. And finally, Sky Sports Cricket will broadcast the first two Irish matches against Zimbabwe on October 17th and Scotland on the 19th of October at the Men's T20 World Cup, while the third match against the West Indies on the 21st of October will be on Sky Sports' main event. Now, as we wrap up this episode, thanks to Andrew for his insights today and the updates on the warm-up fixtures played so far. There are exciting times ahead. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Green Ball Podcast. We'll be back in your feed regularly throughout the year, so the best idea is to make sure you subscribe in your favourite channel to get the latest episode of the Green Ball Podcast.